Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
And welcome to the Casual Comics Cast, everybody. I'm here tonight. I'm Joe. Obviously, I'm here tonight because you're listening to it, unless you're listening during the day. Casual Comics Guy, here to talk about comic books, comic culture, help people get a handle on what's going on in the world of comics. I'm here tonight with Jeff, our regular.
Hi, everybody.
Yep. Sorry, Jeff. I stepped on your hi, everybody line there.
I stepped on what you were saying.
Are you still groovy?
Always groovy, dude.
And tonight we've got Mark with us.
Greetings.
You want to do your R2-D2 since you're drinking from your R2-D2 cup? All right. and Mark, you're here with us tonight because, you know, I was like, hey, if we're going to talk about Disney, let's get, you know, Mark's a big Spider-Man fan, but he's also one of the bigger Disney fans I know. How many times have you been to Disney?
That is true. At least 15.
And holy cow.
Right. Well, when you have people that work there back in the old days, you could get in pretty much for free. They don't do that anymore. But
what?
I had people that worked there and you could get in for free. So it was
nice. Have you been to any of the newer theme parks, Galaxy's Edge?
I have. I have built a lightsaber at Galaxy's Edge and it is every bit worth the experience. I highly recommend it.
A fun fact for the listeners who don't know is when you go to Galaxy's Edge and you hear R2-D2, that's actually Mark the whole time.
That's right.
And Jeff, we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to get a Star Wars comic and do some casual comics or some comic book theater presents because, Jeff, you do a pretty mean C-3PO, right?
I do?
Yes, you do. Come on. It's improv, Jeff. Dude, just go for it.
I'm trying to think of some C-3PO lines. You kind of caught me off guard.
That's what I'm here for.
Shutting up, Seth.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Here's my Darth Maul.
At last we'll have a revenge of the Jedi.
Okay, now I've got one, didn't he? What?
What was the one line?
Oh.
Go ahead with Darth Maul.
That was it.
Sorry.
That was his point. He doesn't talk.
I am C-3PO, human cyborg relations. There you go. Not the best, but you know, it's there.
Not bad, Goldenrod.
I'm done.
You're gonna give him the sad R2-D2. All right. Well, enough silliness to start off the show. But thanks for joining me, guys, as we're gonna talk about the upcoming Disney Plus. It's a pretty full slate for Marvel Heroes. Yay. We talked about Moon Knight on the last episode. We went a little deeper, but we're gonna talk about each of the upcoming shows that I know of that have been announced, and we'll talk a little bit about each of the characters, and then just generally chat about, you know, what we're looking forward to in the coming year. You know, which of these are we most excited for? And then at the end, if we've got a little time, maybe talk about a couple characters that we wish had shows that maybe we could get to in the future. So without further ado, I will tackle them in the order that I think they're, at least the sources I can find online. Number one is Moon Knight. We just talked about last week, but you weren't with us, Mark. Any thoughts on Moon Knight? You were a fan or not a fan of Moon Knight? Even though he spells his name the same way you do, right?
That's the only reason why I thought it was interesting, because he spelled Mark with a C. I couldn't get past the split personality thing, because it was taboo way back in the day, and it still kind of is, to talk about that stuff. So I think it's great that they bring that into the show. But I did see the trailer that dropped recently, and I am even more excited now. His powers are interesting. The story is interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they take the movie, like what direction. But I'm looking forward to it. So I do not, as I recall, own any of his comics, because a friend of mine did, and so I just read all of his. And I didn't take any of his, but yeah, I'm a fan. That would have been on my list of, I was shocked that they did a TV series on him, because that would have been my thing at the end. Joe, like you said, what character would you want to see? I would have said Moon Knight, and I'm just super glad that they're actually doing
it. I think back to when you and I played Ultimate Alliance 2 the first time, and it was like you would unlock a character like Moon Knight. And you're like, I never thought I'd see Moon Knight in a video game.
Right. It was really cool. So, because it's hard to figure out, like, what are his powers? You know, he's not even a B-list Marvel superhero. I mean, he's probably C or D. But I think there's a lot of elements around his background that they can.
I never know how far in advance Marvel thinks of these things, probably farther in advance than I would think, but he has had a bigger role in the comic books over like the last five or six, even before they made this.
Yeah, I think you're right. I have not followed the comics in recent years, but I think you're right. I think they recycle characters and see if they hit in a more modern, younger audience, I suppose. And he was one of them. I think you're right. I think that's why he made it to be a TV.
So I spent a little more time between podcasts refreshing my memory on Moon Knight, because my biggest memory of him was there was a 5-issue limited series that probably came out in 86, 87-ish that I had. And I read the thing over and over, because that's, you know, back in the day, you'd get a comic book and you'd read it to death because, man, that was $1.25.
Right.
Save up for another week before I could buy another comic book.
And some of those limited series ones could be like $1.50.
Yeah.
$2.
I mean, that's when cover price was like 75 cents.
Right, right.
So I read that to death, but it's one of those where, because it came out in like the 80s, a lot of it was flashbacks. So I had pieced together a lot of what I knew about Moon Knight from flashbacks from this limited series I had read. So I did a little more research. And, you know, his origin is, we talked about a little bit, he is a mercenary, and then he was left for dead in the desert, where he was revived by the moon god Khonshu. And then Khonshu, again, you're the fist of Khonshu, and you're going to be my high priest here to enact justice and protect those who travel at night. And it is, you know, they called it schizophrenia in the comics early. They called it dissociative identity disorder, but because he had multiple identities that he would adopt as a mercenary, he sort of becomes lost in those at times, and he reference it in the trailer. He has trouble telling the difference of what's real and what's not real. Like, I remember in the comics a lot, you don't know whether, you know, that he's out there beating dudes' asses, but you don't know when he's talking to Khonshu. Is this real, or is this just all in his head? And they leave it very ambiguous a lot of times.
In the comics, they do. So that's, I'm with you. I think with all of the, and my opinion is the positive focus on mental health, especially in these times, I really like that I'll be interested to see how they dive into that and make it less taboo in the series. And based on the limited trailer that we saw, they are going to address it. And have him do.
I hope so. This is a comic, you know, that even when I read it, it was like, you know, 70s, 80s, it was still cool that his sidekick was named Frenchie. And that was like the guy's personality. He's got a French accent. His name's Frenchie. So we'll see. I'm sure
they've updated Gaston
a lot. I had forgotten, and I guess I shouldn't have, because I used to read a lot of West Coast Avengers, which is where I you know, whatever reason, Avengers, I didn't have Avengers, but I had a lot of West Coast Avengers, and Moon Knight was a West Coast Avenger. So I think that's where a lot of my exposure came from. Are you familiar with the West Coast Avengers, Jeff?
I have exactly one West Coast Avengers comic, and it's got a U.S. agent, and yeah, it was a free comic book day giveaway thing. And it's got U.S. agent and some other folks, but I don't think Moon Knight was in that one.
Okay. Who was in it? Do you remember?
Well, U.S. agent.
U.S. agent. Did you ever read any West Coast Avengers, Mark? Do you have any idea who was in the team when you read it?
Well, I always get West Coast Avengers and Alpha Flight mixed up for some reason over the years. So I want to say, like, well, Puck was in it, but I think he was in Alpha Flight.
Alpha Flight, right.
West Coast Avengers.
It's like Avengers was here, and then they're like, well, they're just taking care of New York. Who's taking care of everything else? So the Avengers had to franchise, apparently. They let Hawkeye go out to LA and open an Avengers franchise there. So he led West Coast Avengers. Alpha Flight was Canada. And I think they were more mutants. I think they were X-Men were here in the United States, and they crossed over with Alpha Flight a lot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to think. I think Captain Marvel was a West Coast Avenger.
Could be Monica Rambeau.
Yeah, that Captain Marvel. Moon Knight, that's actually, to hear what you were saying, that's why I started watching or reading West Coast Avengers. But that was kind of the tail end of me collecting comics. So I only had a few of them, like Jeff. I didn't have a lot of them. And I was more of a core Avengers. Like, I have quite a bit of those comics.
Okay. Well, getting back to Moon Knight himself, because I could go off on West Coast Avengers all day, because Tigra is West Coast Avengers, and when you're a 14-year-old kid reading comics,
that was like an R2-D2.
Yeah,
I do like on Moon Knight. I was going to mention, I was reading this online, I think a few weeks ago, is I think he's got some, the Khonshu, he's got some really like almost cosmic level powers. Like apparently the connection that I was reading, there was a story thread where Kang, the Conqueror. So for those of you that watched Loki and you know a little bit about Kang, that the, you know, 33rd century traveling through time kind of thing, he basically warped one of the timelines, and Khonshu came to Mark Spector and said, hey, something's not right. You need to go fix it. So all of the multiverse universe people were duped except for Moon Knight. I'm like, wow, that's pretty powerful stuff when you think about, you know, access. Cause apparently Khonshu was like, you can't allow this to happen. You're doing this against your will. And I don't know the rest of the story, but it was a really interesting storyline that connected to some heroes in the TV series with Kang and Moon Knight.
Very cool. So if I run down Moon Knight's powers and abilities, powers, enhanced brain function, because he's connected mentally to an Egyptian god, which I'm actually psyched for in the TV series, is to bring in some more Egyptian mythology. I think it'll be cool because Moon Knight's always got like an ankh on his chest when you're reading the comics. But also because of that enhanced
top brain. Top three symbols, by the way, I would say.
The ankh.
We do that later of, you know, the Florida Lee from the Saints, like that's top up there. But I'm just saying sneaky, good, you know, symbols.
Yeah, I like ankh. It.
So anyway. Sorry,
you go a little Sandman with that too, with death having an
ankh. Right.
And it's fun to say.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I have read some comics of Moon Knight in the past where, because of that, and also then because of he's so fractured, his psyche, he's highly resistant to mind control.
Right.
So he's got a fractured psyche, but a very strong psyche. And also he's technically, I think, immortal, in that he has been killed multiple times and Khonshu always raises him from the dead.
Right. Hence the fractured psyche, I think.
Right.
Something to do with that. He doesn't know.
Who was that guy we read about last week? Jeff, the record dude whose power was getting hit in the head really hard.
Gangbuster.
You die and keep coming back. It's got to affect the synapses in there somewhere.
Oh, sure. Sure. He couldn't remember anything at all about his past.
Other than that, he's almost like powers wise, like Batman. And I remember reading it growing up thinking he was just kind of basically a Batman clone, except with a completely white costume.
And that's why my friend collected the Moon Knight. He was a big Marvel guy, anti-DC, which I didn't quite understand why it had to be a crusade, but he made it a crusade. And that was why he did it. It was almost like, we have a Batman, it's Moon Knight. Like, who's we? Like, are we on a team? Like, what's going on here? But that's why he collected it, because he really liked Batman, and he almost punished himself by refusing to buy Batman comics. So he had to load up on Moon Knight comics. I'm like, you can buy DC comics. Nobody's going to know. They're going to know. No one's going to know. They're going to know.
You couldn't back in the day. It was like East Coast, West Coast rappers. It's like Marvel DC.
That's true.
Oh, those were the good old days of arguing about. And then you always had somebody over on the side who was reading independent comics. And you're like, just, I'm reading Cerberus. Get out of here. Stop with Cerberus.
You guys both stink. It's Dark Horse Comics all the way.
You haven't read comics until you've read the touching soul searching of this giant rock monster named Concrete. Man, that's some deep cuts in the memory bank there.
That's pretty good.
But I always thought Moon Knight was tougher than Batman, because Batman like hides in the shadows and Moon Knight's like, here I am. I'm dressed all white. Come find me. And his signature weapons, if you'll remember from Ultimate Alliance 2, they brought it in, is he's got like a staff / nunchuck type thing. And then he's got the crescent darts, or his signature weapon is like, they're shaped like little crescent moons, aka like batarangs.
Don't call him that.
I thought you said he was throwing crescent rolls. I'm like, what kind of weapon is that?
Well, his main arch villain has a gluten tolerance problem.
I attack you with buttery goodness.
There's a restaurant in Springfield, Missouri that they throw the rolls at you.
Yeah, the throw rolls. Sure.
Yeah.
It's
blowing my mind.
I can't remember the name of it, but I just heard this on a podcast recently.
Rolls of Khonshu.
I was listening to a podcast earlier. It's called the Casual Comics Cast. You ever heard of it?
I was listening to that myself. What a coinky dink.
This is two out of our five listeners right here on the phone. <That's right. laughs>
Thanks for listening, everybody.
We'll be right back.
We'll get there. We'll get there. You don't get to say we'll be right back. I get to say we'll be right back. Oh, sorry.
Oh, we'll but you're right. He's not, I don't think he has super strength or, I mean, he's got like Olympic level, you know, strength and speed and stuff like a professional athlete. But you're right. He just kind of fights crime and, you know, helps people from getting bullied. And he's got that Khonshu guy directing him everywhere. So
thumbs up for Moon Knight.
How they play it out.
There's a Moon Knight comic that I'm reading now that I quite like. And I just pulled out one quote to close with on Moon Knight for you guys to give you an essence of who Moon Knight is. The shell right now, he actually did just literally defeat all of the Avengers in a comic series. Khonshu was like, you got to do XYZ. He's on a mission. But so in this panel, he's in there and he's like, got bad dudes. And he's like, listen, we're going to talk about this for a second. And he's standing there and he says, let's establish some parameters. I'm not Spider-Man and I'm not the Punisher. They represent extreme ends of the same costume spectrum. I'm Moon Knight. And you all know that means one thing. No one in this room, myself included, knows precisely what I'm capable of. I beat the Avengers. Imagine what I can do to any one of you. And that's Moon Knight.
That's right.
So with that, now we'll be right back.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to listen to the Casual Comics Cast.
Was that a bit, night flight for you?
It was. I'll bring us back from break.
Okay.
Now it's just awkward.
Go ahead.
To start. All right, we're just starting again. Thank you for joining us today on the Casual Comics Cast. I'm here today with Jeff and with Mark, and we're talking Disney Plus series. And now we're getting to the next one that I'm super excited about, She-Hulk, starring, I can't pronounce her name, Tatiana Maslany.
That works for me.
And she will be starring as Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk. And I am also very excited for this one. Jeff, She-Hulk?
I can't wait to see what they do with it. I was always a TV show Hulk fan when I was a little kid. I don't expect this to be anything at all like that show. I expect it to be nothing but awesome and fun.
What do you know about She-Hulk, Jeff?
I know that at one point she was a member of the Fantastic Four, and that is the sum total of my knowledge about She-Hulk. She's the cousin of Bruce Banner, and that's it.
She was in the Fantastic Four, and not a lot of people know that. So thank you for that, Jeff. Mark, yeah. What you want to give us your rundown of what you remember of She-Hulk?
The only thing I would add is she's a lawyer by trade. I think she represented a lot of superheroes.
She did. There was a recent comic series where she represented, she was a lawyer who took on the cases of that were related to superhero type activity. I think the first issue was her representing Spider-Man in a defamation lawsuit against J. Jonah Jameson and the Daily Bugle.
Right. And so other than that, I know they being Marvel will take it, like Jeff said, in an interesting direction. So I'm looking forward to that. But I never really thought her storylines were that great when I was reading them. So like 80s and 90s. But I guess with Red She-Hulk and a few other storylines in the last 15 years, they've done her better justice, is my understanding.
Yeah, they've really done a good job, I think, of fleshing her out. Jeff, what were you going to say?
Is she She-Hulk all the time, or does she transition back and forth like Bruce Banner does?
That's a great question. So Jennifer Walters is the cousin of Bruce Banner, and she was shot by a mobster, and the only way to save her was for her to get a blood transfusion from Bruce Banner, which then... Oh. Gamma radiated her as well.
We saw what a single drop of it did to Stan Lee.
Right?
That's right.
But since they're genetically similar, it affected her a bit differently in that she can control her transformation and remains in full control of her intellect while she is She-Hulk, mostly. There have been series where she's more... There is a Savage She-Hulk series where it's sort of like... Bruce Banner's gone through this. He gets smart, and then he gets dumb, and then he gets whatever. But her normal homeostatic existence is she can change at will, and she retains the She-Hulk or her own intellect, which means then most of the time, as I would, she spends time as a giant, muscular, super strong person who's also smart.
Right.
Who wouldn't do that?
Well, sometimes when she wants to go on a date, she...
Or driving a car.
Right. That could be a problem if you have a little subcompact.
Yeah.
But she was, as I recall hearing about it, was introduced when the TV show of the Hulk was popular, and that skyrocketed Hulk's popularity. And Marvel was worried that DC or someone was going to try and knock it off by making a female version of Hulk. And they're like, quick, we got to make a female version of Hulk before someone tries to do it and beats us to it. And so they rushed She-Hulk and was like, here you go. Here's a similar character, same powers, but a woman, so that nobody else swoops in. And because Marvel never has done that to anybody else before. Moon Knight.
So I think
she DC... was her Hulk up during her trial lawyer, because you know she wanted to be more intimidating in the courtroom.
I think that if I remember the comics right, she would stay in Hulk form mostly because she was worried about number one, because the law firm who employed her was like, we didn't employ you so that the face of our law firm could be some scrawny little woman. We hired you because you're a celebrity, She-Hulk, and we want you to be the celebrity in the courtroom. But also, you never quite knew if someone was going to like take a shot at you, like some kind of assassin or whatever. So you may as well stay in Hulk form.
Right.
Who is she representing that somebody's going to try to kill her?
I don't know. About anything. There was a really good series where they were prosecuted. Oh, Star Fox, I think, was defending himself against sexual harassment lawsuits. So, which makes sense, because he's a character who can make someone fall in love with him. That's his power. Sounds a little like consent might be dicey in some of those situations. So,
well, I think like Jeff pointed out, if I remember, Joe, isn't she one of the rare heroes that was on both the Fantastic Four and the Avengers?
She was. And I think in the West Coast Avengers too. It's almost like Dungeons and Dragons. When you're creating a party, you're like, who's tank mode? Who's Krieger tank mode? Then who's Krieger brains? And so, yeah, when the Fantastic Four broke out, they're like, things gone from the,
Secret Wars thing. Yeah. He stayed at home on Battle World. Yeah.
Right. And they're like, well, we got to have somebody who can punch things.
We can't be the Fantastic Three.
They barely work as a Fantastic Two with Richards gone all the time.
But yeah, so I think she was. I'm trying to think. I don't think anybody else can make that claim.
That no.
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four, like for one issue? Or was that a what if?
Who? What, Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Well, back in the 60s, I think he joined, didn't he?
He fought him in the 60s.
Well, okay.
But you might be right. Maybe he joined for it, but I don't know if he, yeah. That'll be a good research project.
Yeah. But I've liked this character, what they've done with it recently, because at least recently, a lot of it has been the trials and tribulations of, it's almost like the single girl in the city who just happens to also be a Hulk, who's trying to make it as a lawyer. And she's always somehow still broke. Like, she's not in the Avengers. She's not in the Fantastic Four. How's she making money? She's making money as a lawyer. I don't know that she's a great lawyer, which is why she gets hired on by this law firm. And she's just trying to make it in the city. They get into some of the problems that you would have dating as a 7 foot tall green monster lady.
And so this is going to be Sex in the City in the Marvel universe.
I don't know if it'll be that, but that's where I hear they're going with the, I mean, when they've talked about this in the press of the She-Hulk series, it's going to be about her time as a lawyer also. So career professional and trying to, you know, you can bring home the bacon, cook it up in a pan. She's trying to have it all, right? She's trying to have a career. And then she's trying to have also be a superhero.
Yeah.
Trying to have a career and not really making it all work and come together. She stretched pretty
thin. But she was talented. I mean, she, if I remember, she went to Harvard in the comic books and then went to UCLA because she was from LA.
Yeah.
So
I think you never get the sense that she's the legal angle.
I don't know.
You never get the sense that she's dumb. You just get the sense that from a business sense perspective, she prioritizes, she takes a lot of cases that there's not a lot of money in because it's the right thing to do.
Well, you're right. And it is like Spider-Man of, he's super smart, but his superhero ways get in the way of his career. And I think that's the parallel with her. Like, to be a lawyer, I think you have to, you know, consistently be on the job, and she'd like leave to go fight a battle, and, you know, she'd screw up her career that way. So,
yeah. I was trying to get a gauge for how strong She-Hulk is, especially like compared to like Hulk, like, because Hulk is self-proclaimed strongest there is. And so This wasn't super helpful. What I found is in her She-Hulk form, Jennifer Walters possesses immense super strength, being able to lift over 100 tons. She was able to easily defeat the champion of the universe while he wasn't using the power gem. So for all of you who know the champion of the universe and how much the power gem does or doesn't increase his powers, that'll level set it for you. Thank you, Marvel.
Well, everything's clear as mud for me.
Right. Doesn't she have a, isn't Marvel have like a power ranking page or not?
They might. We might have to look that up. I did find your favorite, the power grid from Marvel. Ooh,
power. That's right. The power grid. That's what it is.
On the power grid, her strength is a 7.
Out of 10?
I don't know. Out of what? Out of 8. That's
good. What's Hulk's?
One moment, you guys.
Right?
I will look up what is Hulk.
Because if she's a 7.
She's a 7.
I guess is Hulk's going to be a 9. That's what I'm going to guess. Out of, who knows?
It's just an infinity sign next to his name.
Are you serious?
No. But when we did the Hulk in a deep dive earlier, basically they said Hulk is, the madder he gets, the stronger he gets. And he's never been as mad as he could possibly be. Ever. So however strong you've seen him, he's actually stronger than that, whatever you've seen him do. And what we did see Hulk do in a comic book was punch the air so hard he ripped a hole in time. So
I like how you said he's never, what'd you say, he's never gotten as mad as he possibly, I think you just described, yes, every mom out there in the world.
I was gonna say it sounds like the Hulk has never been divorced.
He's never had to do taxes, that's for sure.
But he has had to deal with an overbearing almost father-in-law that keeps trying to shoot him with tanks.
That's right. Ross, I hate you.
Thunderbolt Ross. According to the official power grid, I like the power grid ranking for him because it ranks strength 2 as Banner.
I know. I like how they tricked you.
That's what I was interested in. I wanted to know.
Yeah, I wanted to know what a normal human strength rating is.
I would say just, Banner gets a 2?
Banner gets a 2.
I would have thought it would have been like a 0.4.
But Hulk only gets 7. Same as She-Hulk.
Oh, whoa. That's not...
I don't know who could possibly have more.
Huh.
We'll look up, Thanos, right?
We'll make this the topic of our next podcast. We'll come back. We did the top 10 smartest Marvel characters. We'll do top 10 strongest. And you guys know peaking. You can make who you think your top 10 list is. And then we'll compare it to the official... I don't know how official world's greatest dad.
World's, I don't know if that's where these rankings really are. World's number one dad. The world's great. Yeah. That's right.
But She-Hulk's had some crazy wacky stuff lately where she was Red She-Hulk, where she got brainwashed by the Black Widows to try and turn her into the Red Widow. It's all very complicated, and we'll talk about it more when we get closer to the She-Hulk series, which, as one of my favorite characters and as the character whose comic book I bought, She-Hulk number 1 about 5 years ago. I hope it goes up in value now.
Sell it quickly.
No, I can't. That's the problem, is like if you sell them when they're super popular, you will make a lot of money. I just can't bring myself to sell any of my comic books. I'm like, no, because what would I, if I sold that, what would I want to do with the money? I'd want to buy that comic.
That's true. It's a dilemma.
There's a wrap on She-Hulk. I am going to try and figure out what the next Marvel series coming is in the official rankings and or the official timeline of the Disney Plus universe, and we will be back.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. You wouldn't like us when we're angry.
Welcome back to the Casual Comics Podcast.
It's 3 C's. Casual Comics Cast.
Oh.
Pod edition.
Pod racing.
All right, we've gotten through Moon Knight and She-Hulk.
Neat trick.
Now, as we get further out into the timeline of the Disney Plus series, I think the details get a little less clear. And so, the next one that I could see on the horizon is Ms. Marvel, not Captain Marvel, and not Captain Marvel 2, who we already know, Carol Danvers and Monica Rambeau. This is Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, who was introduced in the comics. I'm going to say 12 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. So a much newer character in the Marvel Universe. Same question. Anybody seen any set photos?
I haven't seen anything at all.
Jeff, what are you reading? Well,
except for that little teaser. There was a little teaser, but that's about it. Right. I haven't.
Now, Kamala Khan's a newer character, which I appreciated. It was, Marvel sort of like 15 years ago was like, all of our characters are kind of the same. We don't have characters who have like relatable issues anymore. Even Spider-Man in the comics, unless they do like flashback stories, Spider-Man's like this, I don't know, he owns like a similar big industry thing. He's not the Peter Parker you remember, like working for the Bugle and then what, like kind of trying to be a high school teacher and not making a very good job of it. But he's like all grown up now. So like, let's get another teenage character who has relatable teenage problems. And it's Kamala Khan, a young Muslim American. Have you read any of the Ms. Marvel stuff, Mark, or do you know much about her?
You know, it's interesting. I have not, but I played the Avengers video game.
Oh, you did. And you start out as her, right?
And you start out like learning her story. And it got a lot of the game got a lot of credit. Like they launched it too early. It was buggy and I get all that. But actually the story was pretty good. And I found myself liking the character in the background there. So I'm really actually excited for this series because I'm sure they're going to play some of the Avengers. The premise is she's a super big fan of the Avengers. And in this case, particularly Brie Larson / Captain Marvel. And she gets her own powers and she's dealing with it. So it's a lot. It's a very relatable, quite frankly, puberty story. And it's actually a pretty good story in the video game, which I think aligns with the comic, which also will align with the TV series. So yeah, I actually do know a bit about her from the video game lore. And I liked it.
Nice. Yeah. Do they talk about how she got her powers in the video game?
They do. Yeah. I don't think it is going to be how they do it because basically the Avengers are fighting like an alien race and it's like alien radiation and she gets subject to the alien radiation and that's how she gets her powers. But that's the thing. I don't know if that's related to the comics. I don't know if that's related how she's going to get her powers in the series, but basically it's alien radiation is how I would summarize it.
It's not in the comic, but I can see why they might have to make that way in the video game because of ongoing rights issues that are going on is that in the comic she's exposed to the Terrigen mists, which is what creates the Inhumans, The Inhumans, well, maybe they're just not connecting it because the Inhumans was such a horrible flop of a TV show. They're like, we don't want nothing to do with that anymore.
Well, the hook in the, you're right, that makes sense because the hook in the video game is this Terrigen mist equivalent, which is the alien radiation. There's a big bad corporate head that's trying to use it to harness the power and create his own set of, you know, super soldiers, super villains kind of thing. So that's the hook in the video game. And then you got to go, you know, defeat him. And of course what does he do? He subjects himself the radiation. And that's kind of part of the video game, but you end up playing a lot of the different characters, but they make her a really cool character in the video game. And I'm like, this is kind of neat. Cause it's like a more modern version of Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah. Cause what are her powers?
It's she can stretch, she can have some super strength, but she can, you know, make herself any size. So it's like a stretchable giant man, if you think of it that way, in terms of her powers that are combined. And right. So then if like you shoot her with bullets or pierce her, like she's super rubbery. So she's very malleable that way. And so that's like her big move is she becomes in the video game, she becomes super tall and just starts, you know, wailing on people. And it's really hard. And she doesn't take a lot of damage because of her softer, rubbery type exoskeleton.
Right. It's kind of, I mean, it's a cool, it's a cool character that they created. You know, it's like so many times you see somebody who's a carbon copy, and although her powers might seem to be, you know, a little bit like Mr. Fantastic, it's, I mean, how many powers really are there that you can have?
Yeah.
But what I liked about her story, and we'll read a Ms. Marvel comic when we get closer to the series to talk about it, is it does become this life experience of a teenager. And it probably for me, a lot of it is remembering the stuff Peter Parker went through when the comics were, when I was reading them in the 80s, and how life is different for teenagers now and the differences that she has because of her cultural experience, both as a girl and as a Muslim American, because where Peter used to have to sneak out of the house because he was worried, like his Aunt May would be worried if she found out he was Spider-Man and he's putting himself in danger. She's just like, my parents won't be cool with me as a 15-year-old sneaking out of the house in the middle of the night, going God knows where, doing God knows what, and I'm not about to tell them I'm a superhero.
Right. And I think And this, I don't know if this is true, Joe, you might know with the comics, but I think her mom's dead and she's living just with her dad, at least in the Avengers video game. So okay. I don't know if that's true in the comics or not, or does she have both of her parents?
I've only read the first graphic novel and it's been a while, and I don't believe her. I believe she had both of her parents at that time, but I could be wrong. I could be remembering that she lives with her dad and her dad's mom. I don't remember, but there was a female figure present in the house that I felt like was her mom and her dad. And she had a brother living at home too.
And it's always, again, bigger picture thing, but it's always really great what comics can do is normalize these taboo things. Like, she's a teenager, she's a Muslim American, and that's okay. And it's that's what I think is really great about the tolerance there. But they address it in Avengers a bit with like you said, the cultural differences. They don't go too heavy into it, but they do kind of mention it in the video game.
Very cool. Jeff, any questions about Ms. Marvel? You're just ready see more of it, though.
Sure, I'll give it a try. The powers don't necessarily intrigue me as they sound, as if it's just kind of a copy of other characters that have come before. But, you know, I'll be interested to see the story that they develop, because that's what the Marvel Cinematic Universe is all about. It's about the storytelling and it's about the humanity of the characters. The superpowers are just window dressing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that's what I've always loved about it. I'm interested in looking at her equipment list here on the official list. And I don't know about this. She has a compartment bracelet, a series of bangles with hollow compartments inside to hold her cell phone and other small items while she's doing superhero stuff. That's what I love. It's like if you're a teenager and you're out, you're like, oh, we got to fight crime. What am I going to do with my cell phone? I don't want that to get broken. Although most kids
shove it in your back pocket.
Right. It would fall out anyway.
Yeah.
I think Jeff, while she does have Mr. Fantastic like powers, they're really more focused on like shape shifting, but not shape shifting, like changing into a different person or character.
Plastic again, Man. Becoming a fire hydrant.
No, but it's more like instead of just stretching, it's like
extending
limbs really tall. Really tall so she can run faster, and then making her fist like the size of a car so she can hit stuff with it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which would cinematically would be very interesting to watch.
I'll be interested because I'm hearing they may monkey with some of her powers for the TV show, which is making fans not super happy with some of the images they've seen online. I'll give it some time before. I mean, we're pretty far out from this, but this will be the first time that I can think of. Well, I mean, maybe Moon Knight will be similar, but they've already announced like that this Ms. Marvel TV show is the bridge into the movie, The Marvel. So Marvel, in their list of movies that are coming out, have announced the movie The Marvels, which will be Brie Larson's Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau, Captain Marvel, and Kamala Khan all in one movie together. So this is the first time I can think of where they're like, we've already announced a movie with this character where she's going to star in it or be at least one of the co-leads. And we're introducing her in this way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then they didn't really get into it in the, but I read about it later because I was curious about her character powers. She has a weird healing ability, Jeff, too, where if she gets injured as Miss Marvel, she can turn back to Kamala Khan and it goes away, basically.
Really?
So it's an interesting, I don't know if they're going to put that in the TV show, but she can get injured and basically heal herself by shape-shifting back to her alter ego.
So she becomes Kamala Khan, and then next time she becomes Ms. Marvel, is that injury still there waiting to plague her?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. If she gets like cut or injured really badly, she can shape-shift back. Now, there might be like a time like minimum, but I didn't get into a lot of detail there. But yeah, she can shift back and then the injury's gone. I don't know if like she has to wait 5 minutes or what.
I get paper cuts all the time at work. That'd really come in handy.
It would.
You can shapeshift into a fire hydrant like Plastic Man.
To pee on stub your toe off. And you quickly shapeshift. Ah, dang it. Oh, okay. I'm fine now.
All right. Well,
so maybe it's relative to the severity of the injury.
Could be. Like so Wolverine
paper cut,
was.
Paper cut.
That's not going to cut it.
Boom. Instant. Yeah. Lose a limb. Might need to wait a few hours.
Wolverine get caught in a nuclear explosion and be all completely gone except for one random skin cell. Weak. I don't know.
Completely reconstitute.
Just but like my understanding is it's really like Wolverine-like healing factor type. Like it's very resilient.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. We'll read more. We'll wrap with the power grid, the infamous power grid. My favorite part of the Ms. Marvel power grid. Her speed is 2, marked as 3 with elongated legs.
Cheater. Don't use the elongated legs.
All right. Well, thanks for sticking with us through the Ms. Marvel discussion. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll wrap up with a couple other series that are even further out in the future. And then we will talk about a couple of the characters maybe that we wish would get announced in a series, but we haven't seen yet. So we'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. We could do this all day.
All right, guys. We're in the home stretch now.
Home stretch.
The home stretch on these Marvel series, because they announced it all in a bunch, which I'm excited about. But the last few, I don't know that we need to spend a ton of time on, because number one, they're so far out. And number two, like at least the first one we're going to spend a ton of time talking about, which is Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion is coming up. It's called Secret Invasion. It's got to be in some way tied to the Secret Invasion crossover event that happened right after Civil War. And so since we did a Marvel Civil War full reading and recap of that, we'll do the same thing with Secret Invasion. But Mark, I think you and I read Secret Invasion when it was coming out on the shelves. Were you read Civil War the same time I did. Did you go into Secret Invasion as well?
I did. I think the, you'll have to correct me wrong if I'm wrong, Joe, but the catalyst event was Elektra was killed. And when she died, she turned into a Skrull.
I believe that is
that something like that. They realized like it they wasn't actually that. Elektra. It was a Skrull that was playing Elektra, and it had been doing so for quite a long time.
Right. So for the people who don't remember the Captain Marvel movie, the Skrulls are an alien race who can shapeshift. And in the comics, they're not quite as benevolent as they are in the movie. And they're continually trying to invade Earth. And they can shapeshift and look and sound and act just like anybody. They're like perfect mimics. And so, yes, you're right, Mark. I'm glad you remembered it. I didn't remember. It was Elektra dies and then reverts back to Skrull form. And like, wait a minute. How long has the Skrull been impersonating Elektra? And where's Elektra?
Right, exactly.
And they come to a gradual realization that the Skrull have been infiltrating the Earth one hero at a time and abducting them. Taking them who knows where, I don't remember, and then impersonating those heroes for a long time. And so the heroes all of a sudden don't know who's a Skrull and who's not.
Right.
They've
right.
announced for the TV series Samuel L. Jackson and I believe Kobe Smulders. So it'll be a S.H.I.E.L.D. type thing going on. And I'm sure there'll be the elements of this. But in the comics, it spun kind of, it was kind of almost the healing after Civil War. Like the heroes have been fighting each other and they're like, well, we got to come up with, oh, and maybe that hero who did such crappy things during Civil War was actually a Skrull trying to sow dissent among the heroes, too.
I wonder the angle they're going to take there, because they basically do the reverse of it in Spider-Man Far From Home. Like, Maria Hill and Nick Fury are actually Skrulls.
Right. And they're here on this planet. So if they're going to do a Secret Invasion, anything like the comics, it's going to have to be, there's got to be some faction of the Skrulls that are not so kindly towards humans on Earth.
Yeah, because that the MCU role reversed the Kree and the Skrull, where the right. Kree are the bad guys and the Skrull the good guys. So you're right. I think it has to be that, right?
Right. I remember the tie-in that I read was the Deadpool one, where they wanted to get some of Deadpool's DNA, I believe, so they could create Skrull DNA combined with Deadpool DNA. So they would have super healing factor. But what they forgot was that it would give them super crazy factor as well. So that kind of backfired on them. And then I believe what it was it was revealed that Wade Wilson has super regenerating powers, but he also has super aggressive cancer. And so when you gave that super regenerating power to a being that didn't have cancer, it just basically made them explode at some point, because their body was regenerating cells faster than this cancer was killing them off.
Right, right. And I think, Joe, because I was trying to read up on it, but in advance of this Casual Comics Cast, Casual Comics Cast. That they indefinitely delayed Secret Invasion.
That's what I heard, but there's set photos out already of like,
yeah,
like,
so I don't know. They haven't come out and officially said anything, I don't think, yet.
Marvel rumor mongering. That's where we got to get our juicy gossip section. What's the reason behind this set delay? We just make up something.
Casual Comics Coffee Talk cast. An offshoot.
An offshoot where we make up rumors.
That's right.
About Samuel Jackson.
And Peter Dinklage.
No, actually, I don't want to make up rumors about Samuel Jackson. I'm a little afraid of that guy.
You should be. Samuel Jackson, if you're listening, please reply to Joe at Casual Comics Cast.
Yes, we'd love to have you on for an interview and perhaps some apologies.
Apologizing in advance for things we just thought. So please don't be mad at us, sir. Don't be mad.
So yeah, Secret Invasion, it might be just the juggling because of release of movies. That it could be that. I don't know, but I did read that about a week. The rumors were there.
Yeah. There's no COVID delays or anything like that going on?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Because that was the confusing thing that the article I read mentioned, to Joe's point. It was they were already filming and doing things. So could be that. It's hard to say.
All right. Well, that's what I know about Secret Invasion so far. And the last two they announced were just more, I think, kind of lighthearted fun. They announced, I think it's an animated series, I Am Groot, which follows everyone's favorite plant-based Marvel character. And then Guardians Holiday Special, which has me intrigued, of a holiday special of Guardians.
Isn't
of
the James Galaxy. Gunn directing it?
I believe he is.
That is
the only saving grace for me, because all I can think of is the Star Wars holiday special. And I'm like, oh, dear God, no.
Hold on.
We don't have Harvey Korman and B. Arthur around anymore to pollute that.
What are the odds? What are the odds makers putting on the fact that they put Christmas ornaments on Groot at some point?
No bet.
Gotta be high. They gotta be up there.
You gotta be so high. Yeah.
I'll take it over.
So that's that wraps up the Marvel stuff that's coming. As we get a little closer to each of those, we will get into those. And I'm, like I said, I'm mildly interested in I Am Groot. I don't know. If you look at all these series, Jeff, like what are you most looking forward to? And then what's sort of at the bottom of your list? You're like, you can take it or leave it.
Animated series. I really don't care for animated series at all. And no particular reason. It's just they haven't really grabbed me yet. I haven't watched What If.
Okay.
So
you're talking specific to Marvel, because I know you're a big
specific to Marvel
cartoon fan.
Well, yeah, I mean, give me some Bugs Bunny any day. No, the Marvel animated stuff just hasn't really grabbed me. And it never, ever did throughout my lifetime.
Are you kidding?
No.
Like Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends? You didn't
I did watch that. And I watched Spider-Woman.
Okay. No.
You know, but they were never as appealing to me as the DC cartoons when I was a kid.
Yeah, Super Friends. So, Jeff, I agree with you. I actually was pleasantly surprised by What If. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was pretty good. So good. So I'm with you. I'm not really looking forward to any animated Marvel series either.
Right. And the same thing goes with Star Wars. I've never gotten into the animated.
Same here.
Jeff, you're wearing an Ewoks t-shirt right now.
Oh, no. It's not Ewoks.
It's Eradicator.
Eradicator.
Is that Wicked? Is that Wicked Skull on your shirt?
This is the Kids in the Hall.
Or Wicked.
Wicked.
Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Hall. I sell shoes. Thank you, Satan.
I am well stocked in the color of cowards.
But so what
until we threw him off with a Kids in the Hall reference, we went off sideways.
No, sorry. I know that if we start talking Kids in the Hall, we're going to be talking about nothing but Kids in the Hall for like 20 minutes.
That's true.
What are you most interested in there, Jeff?
She-Hulk, absolutely, because I really want to see what they do with the character, because everything I've heard is that in the comics she was really just more or less eye candy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that I don't care about, and I don't think they're going to go that way given the zeitgeist right now. I think they're going to do a really interesting character with pretty awesome powers, so I really want to see that.
Yeah. Mark, what about you?
It's Miss Marvel. I mean, I would not have said that before playing the Avengers video game.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to see what they do. Same with Jeff on the on She-Hulk, but Miss Marvel, I'm looking forward to it. I think they got a good casting there, and we'll see what they do. And like you said, Joe, it's an interesting approach of
she's a main character in an upcoming movie, and she's going to get a series first. So it'll be interesting to see how they thread that in story-wise.
Yeah, I think more will come to light as you get closer to the series, because I mean, the one thing that I trust Marvel with is they do like a good job with the tone, and these all seem like they have such a wildly different tone. Like, you get to the end of this year with Hawkeye, and people are like, why would I want to watch a Hawkeye TV show? But they changed like the genre almost to like a buddy comedy type thing, and all of a sudden Jeremy Renner, who I find to be one of the most unlikable actors in existence right now, all of a sudden, hey, I'm enjoying Hawkeye. Jeff, you look like you have strong feelings about Jeremy Renner.
No, not at all. Not
by
at
the
all.
Way, I am really looking forward to Moon Knight. I was just,
yes.
I know so little about Ms. Marvel, so I think Jeff and I's answers are more based on curiosity. I think we're assuming we're going to both love Moon Knight. That just let me make that.
Moon Knight's just a given that it's going to be good.
Yeah, and it's because we're closest to it. We've already seen a trailer, and you know, that genre already is something we haven't seen from Marvel, which is sort of like dark, gritty, and
Batman-like,
and with the supernatural element, which will be cool. And we already kind of know that that'll tie into future plans for Marvel, with them having just introduced Blade into the Marvel, and they've announced a Blade movie, and they just brought Charlie Cox's Daredevil into the fold. So now bringing in Moon Knight, it unlocks that whole gritty urban street level character that Netflix tried to pull off and then somehow weren't able to get going.
Mm-hmm. So. And the nice thing is, over at Sony, they're doing Morbius. So, you know, with the success of the latest Spider-Man movie, you never know when they're going to decide to collaborate and cross over characters.
Oh, I know when they're going to cross over Morbius. That's a big fat never. That movie's got stink written all over it.
Yeah, I think I was never a big fan of the comics, but we'll see.
I started making, like, trying to be professional with this podcast, making an editorial calendar of what we're going to cover when, and I've only been doing that since the beginning of the year, and I've had to move the Morbius podcast like 4 times because they're like, who the hell knows when it's coming out. It sucks. Just, we'll find a way to shove it on Hulu sometime.
Well, I'm sorry I brought it up.
We're in the middle of a pandemic where they're hardly making any movies. They're like, we still can't find a slot for Morbius in theaters. I'm sorry, we just still can't go up against Spider-Man No Way Home that's been out for a month and a half or 2 months. We can't risk it by putting Morbius in the theaters. Give me another Venom movie instead. And I was skeptical about Venom from the beginning, but they've been okay quality.
Yeah.
And I watched the Morbius trailer and I'm like, ugh. What was the Hulu series they just did that also tried to be in that vein? It was Hellstrom. Didn't see it. Didn't care to see it. Did you see any of it, Mark?
No, I didn't.
Marvel's Hellstrom.
I did not see. So what do we got for wrapping it up, Joe? What do you got for us?
Top. Give me 3 characters that are not yet announced to have their own Disney Plus series that you would love to see. Let's go round robin. Go ahead,
Mark. I really liked this. This Joe, and I do have 3, so whoever you want to go first, but I've got my 3 already in my head.
We'll go around robin. You go with your first one, Mark.
You want me to go like
just give me number 3?
3, 2, 1?
Yes, number 3.
Okay, so number 3 is Gambit.
Gambit,
yes,
and you're a long way
Femi out. Lambo.
They got to bring in the X-Men, and then they got to throw in Gambit. I didn't even consider X-Men characters. That's a good one, though. Yeah. What is it about Gambit, though, other than he's got that thick accent?
Yeah. Well, I'm a Saints fan, as you know, so he's from New Orleans, so there's that whole thing. But again, just an interesting backstory there, and it's cool, like kinetic energy, and he's throwing cards at people and stuff, so nothing. Nice. That's it. Just lame, like the character.
Okay. Jeff, have you got any off the top of your head?
A Nicolas Cage-less Ghost Rider would be great.
Why Nicolas
Cage? He was like, the school's on fire.
They were fine for what they were, but I'd really like to see, I mean, after seeing the Ghost Rider iteration in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was not Johnny Blaze, I can't remember the name of the character, but I think that character could really have a nice run.
So Jeff, I didn't really watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, but it was the second version.
It was the
Hispanic version. He drove a car.
Yeah, he's got a pretty sweet, like, muscle car.
Got it.
It's not Johnny Blaze anymore.
No, I can't remember the name of the character, but he was great, and for TV, it was pretty darn good.
Are we going around robin to you, Joe? What do you got?
You're making me rethink everything. I was going to say Paste Pot Pete.
You want to go to my number two while you're thinking about it? I mean, to throw you off.
I'm going to double down, though, with, like, because WandaVision was so good, I'd love to see a Kitty Pryde and Colossus show.
Ooh, I like it. Team up.
Yeah, a little that unlikely pairing of the big hulking Russian and then Kitty Pryde coming to, and like what they're doing while all the X-Men are kind of doing X-Men stuff and they're just at the school together, like a high school type show starring yes. Kitty Pryde and Colossus.
That's good.
All right, give me number two there, Mark.
Number two, Namor.
Namor?
As a series?
A Submariner. And then you go into a movie.
Then you go okay. All the Atlantis stuff. I don't know. That's right. You were into that stuff? I mean,
Am I blowing your mind now, Joe?
We've never talked about Namor before.
Well, I'm just saying I liked how he's like this arrogant king of the Atlantis. And I think that you could do a lot of good things with in a series versus just a movie.
I think you're right.
That's the thought behind Namor there. But I'm not I wouldn't consider myself a huge fan. I just think that'd be a good TV series for Marvel to do.
I think you're right.
Didn't they hint to him in Endgame when there's an earthquake in the ocean?
Yes, they did.
So
I think so. There you go. All right, Jeff, you got anybody else?
I want to see Ty Burrell back as Doc Samson.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Bring back some of those characters from the movies.
Yeah.
Doc like Samson. Give
him the green wig and let him go.
You know what? I could get on board with that. And you take him and then you have him move to Seattle and host a radio show.
Doc Samson, you're on the air.
Give me some scrambled eggs.
How can I help you today?
I like that. I'm gonna probably wind up cheating on this whole list because
cheated with Kitty Pryde and Colossus.
I know. I don't know. Here's a show that has been done, but I want it done right instead, which is Cloak and Dagger. I want a good Cloak and Dagger
to use. Yes, I like it.
And it was on Freeform, and I just couldn't connect with it. They changed up the powers a little bit. They didn't tie it into the Marvel Universe. In a way, I want to see Cloak and Dagger in the Marvel Cinematic Universe at some point, and I know that it never will be from that show. So I want them to reboot.
Why won't they ever do it? You don't think they'll ever do it?
It wasn't good enough. It wasn't popular enough, and it wasn't tied into Marvel.
It was too recent?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're going to have to reboot it before they bring them into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Got it. Okay.
And then...
All right, you got a duo theme going on. So I don't know.
It's because what's on my mind is we got a podcast coming up that we'll talk about best comic book duos.
Okay.
All right.
So number one for me, TV series, Silver Surfer.
Yes. I like it.
That's my number one. I like him. I've got some of his limited series, the whole Herald of Galactus thing. There's a lot of really cool stories I think you could pull from the comics and it could be really neat.
I think you're right. You get a little cosmic, you get like some sci-fi stuff. You could almost do like a Star Trek thing with that, man. Visiting other planets.
You could. Yeah. I'm wondering if Captain Marvel 2 will be like that too.
You probably
like more the cosmic traveling around.
I wonder if they ever get into any of the Captain Marvel being the Herald of Galactus stuff. You got to get Galactus. You're picking stuff that you
gotta get.
Like,
yeah.
You got like a long way to get there.
Yep. He can't be a puff of smoke.
There's Galactus.
Billowing smoke. That was the low point of movies. Remember, Joe, when we were talking to the Marvel brass and I was calling them out for Doctor Doom and Spider-Man's organic web shooters?
Yes. They were very offended until they figured out you knew what you were talking about. And then they were just like, go talk to the creative people.
On the fourth floor. Business. Get out of here, kid.
Get down onto the fourth floor.
They really need to do a Galactus show like an Anthony Bourdain just traveling from world to world sampling the cuisine.
Yes. That's excellent point, Jeff. I agree.
Well, it's a delicious planet. It's fabulous.
He's talking to the locals and then he just eats the whole planet.
So that's awesome.
Oh, man.
Jeff, you got
my number one. Herbie the Robot from the Fantastic Four cartoon.
Herbie the Robot.
Oh my God.
The Adventures of Herbie.
You know what, though, Jeff? I'm going to give you a comic that we'll review, which was Franklin Richards' Boy Genius that I think you would love. Have you heard of it?
No, I've never heard of it.
It is illustrated like a Sunday morning cartoon strip, And it's basically Calvin and Hobbes, except with Franklin Richards and Herbie the Robot getting into misadventures.
Sign him up. Yes. He's all in.
Yes. Yes.
I love it. I love it. I guess for my number one, you know, because a lot of my favorite characters are already kind of getting or already have been and stuff, you know, like I was so excited for Netflix. I thought you'd get a good Heroes for Hire show. And maybe that's still in the future someday. But I would like to see a good, like, Marvel laid back, like, group sitcom-y type thing. And I think you could do a Great Lakes Avengers show. So the one character that I would be looking forward to seeing, but I would like to see it as part of a Great Lakes Avengers show, is Squirrel Girl. I think Squirrel Girl is actually pretty awesome in the comic books and would love to see her on the screen. But I think the comic books recently have been more of a girl going off to college and finding her way at college. And I think you could have fun with that, coming home fresh out of college, Squirrel Girl, reuniting with this loser group, the Great Lakes Avengers, back home from college. That's what I'm going with. Squirrel Girl and the Great Lakes Avenger.
Well, there were rumors for a long time that lady from the phone commercials was going to be Squirrel Girl. Right. I can't say that word.
I would Squirrel be Girl. All on board for that.
Yeah, because she's great.
She is. I think I saw some, I don't know whether they're real photos or doctored up photos of her in that outfit, like dressed up. Here's like a Squirrel Girl, but I think she'd be great for it. And I'm ready to have like a lighthearted kind of sitcom-y type thing in the Marvel universe. I think that would be fun.
You had the first three episodes of WandaVision.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I guess so. But there was
something
dark behind that. Like, give me Secret Girl on the Great Lakes Avengers and like a Friends type sitcom. Just like lighthearted, that kind of thing.
It sounds to me like you want the Justice League pilot from the 90s.
No. They don't need to have their secret lair under a bridge. Although that would be more suitable for the Great Lakes Avengers than it was for the Justice League at that time. That was a piece of poo, Jeff.
That was just so, so bad.
Oh boy. Well, that gets us to the end of yet another Casual Comics Cast. We thank you for joining us. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Mark, for helping me out with this nonsense again. We will be back soon. We will be taking a deep dive into Moon Knight. But before we do, what I want to ask you guys to do is come back and help me out with coming up for Valentine's Day, a favorite comic couples or duos podcast, where we'll talk about some of our favorite comic book romances.
Ooh.
Or the Namor Sue Richards forbidden romance.
That's right. there's some steamy stuff there.
Oh my.
Under the sea. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much. And until next time, cheers, everybody.
Bye.
Cheers.
All right. That was fun.
And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter at Casual Comics Guy, at our blog, casualcomicsguy.com, or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.